Hey, today's daf is Brachos Daf Mem Hey. Today's shiur is sponsored by Shaki Klar, Le'ilui Nishmas Yenti Bas Avram, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. Today's shiur is also sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and also sponsored by myself and my wife in honor of the engagement of our niece Shani to Jason Salzberger. Mazel tov to them, and we should all Bezashem celebrate Simchas together. So we are holding on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, and we are holding at Kruv Lemazon Utradin Lerefua. Last two words on the line are Kruv Lemazon, about 12, 15 lines toward the end of the page, and we're in the middle of going through a number of different items that are either healthy or non-healthy, and we're going to finish that discussion, and then Bezashem, we're going to finish the parak with a discussion about the proper bracha for drinking water. What if a person only drinks water because he's choking? What's the bracha achrona on water? And then Bezashem will begin the seventh parak of Maseches Brachos, and that's going to be all about Zimun and Birchas HaMazon. So the Mishnah is going to tell us when three people can join together to make a Zimun, what items are they not allowed to, are considered to be forbidden to the point that if they ate them, they can't even join together for a Zimun? Who's Chayiv in Zimun? Who's not Chayiv in Zimun? The Gemara is going to discuss what is the source for the idea of Zimun Min HaTorah. Where do we find the notion of Zimun? And then the Gemara is going to talk about whether two people are allowed to make a Zimun. They're certainly not Mechuyev to make a Zimun, but are two people permitted to make a Zimun? And the Gemara is going to have four rayas, one way or the other, about whether two people can make a Zimun. The Gemara is going to talk about whether women are allowed to make a Zimun, which is a fascinating sugya. Women and avadim, whether they can make a Zimun with men, without men. Then the Gemara is going to have machlokas, whether the last guy has to be at the table in order to be able to make the Zimun, in order to be able to make a minyan. What if one guy has already left the table? Can you still just call to him from a distance and count him into the Zimun? And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to discuss what if not everybody finishes at the same time. You have two guys that finish their meal and they're ready to move, they're ready to go, they're ready to bench, and the other guy is still eating. So can they force that guy to stop in order to make the Zimun? Can one guy who wants to leave force the other two guys to stop in order to make a Zimun? And at the very, very end of the daf, the Gemara is going to talk about whether one is supposed to say amen to one's own bracha, or maybe amen is only for other people's brachas, and under what circumstances one might be allowed to say amen to one's own bracha. So let's pick up again from Kruv L'mazon Utradin L'Refua on Mem Dalet and Beis. So we had said yesterday in the Braisa that Kruv L'mazon Utradin L'Refua. So the Gemara says Kruv L'mazon Inu L'Refua Lo is Kruv, is cabbage, something that's only good for mazon, but it's not good for Refua? V'atanya, I have a Braisa that tells us that Kruv is good for Refua. Shishadvar Merabin Eschol Mechol Yor Refuas and Refua, that there are six items that are very therapeutic. V'eluhain, and the first item on the list, Kruv, and then the rest of the list, Utradin, Umesisin, Dvash, Vikeva, the Heres. Heres is the womb of an animal, the Oseres HaKaved. So, but your bottom line is, Kruv is on the list. Ela'ema, Kruv af l'mazon. What we mean to say when we said Kruv l'mazon is that Kruv is good not only for Refua, but also l'mazon. Oyla l'bayis sha'alefes overes besocho. Then the Braisa had said that woe unto a stomach that has a turnip that goes through the stomach, because it's very bad for the stomach. So says Gemara, Eini, is that so? Amrle Rava l'shame. Didn't Rava once tell the Shamish, ki chazisa lifta b'shuka? If you see lefes in the shuk, lo temali b'maykarach derifta. Don't wonder what I'm going to have with my meal that night. If you see lefes in the shuk, buy it, because that's delicious. That I'm for sure going to have with my meal that night. So isn't that a kasha on the Braisa that said that a woe unto anyone who has lefes go through their stomach? So Amr Abaye, Eimi b'li basra. Abaye says the Braisa is talking about if you eat lefes without cooking it with meat. So then it's very bad for you. Then it's going to have a negative impact on the person. Rava Amr Mibli Yayin. Rava says if you have it without wine, it's going to be very bad for a person. Itma Rav Amr Mibli Basar. Shmuel Amr Mibli Eitzim. Shmuel says if you don't cook it very well, that's when it's bad for you. But if you cook it really well, Eitzim doesn't mean you mix wood into it. It means that firewood to cook it properly. So if you cook it really well, then it's going to be good for you. Rabbi Yochanan Amr Mibli Yayin. And Rabbi Yochanan says it's only bad for you if you have it without wine. So Amalei Rava Rav Papa, Rava said to Rav Papa, Sudni, you who are a beer brewer, Rav Papa, the Gemara Maseches Pesachim tells us that Rav Papa says that that he had it not been for his beer brewing business, he never would have been a rich person. So we know that he had a beer brewing business. So he said, "You who brew beer for a living, so anan tavrin le bisr v'chamra." So he says, "I know what I do. I eat lefes and I have it with meat and with wine, and that takes away the koach of it to hurt me. But atun zelo nafshul chamra, you're in the beer business. You're not in the wine business. You don't have too much wine. So b'may tavrisula, how do you counter the effects of the lefes?" So Amalei said, "Betzivi, I just cook it really well. A lot of firewood." Kiyadu bitted Rav Papa and Rav Papa's wife, Basa de Mavashula, after she cooked it, Tavrila betam nupe parsiyasa, she would recook it again with 18 logs of wood used for firewood to cook it and cook it and cook it to the point where it was no longer able to be mazik them. So Rav Papa's wife knew how to handle it. She knew how to make it for Rav Papa in a way that it wasn't going to hurt their stomachs. Tanu Rabbanan, dag katan. It's amazing that the Gemara tells Rav Papa's wife knew how to, because she was the one that was preparing the food. I recently heard an interview with Rav Reuven Feinstein, and they were asking him about bugs and vegetables and how do you eat strawberries. He said, "My Rebbetzin's not here anymore. I can't tell you how I do it." It wasn't even Shaykh that he would be able to tell you how to do it. Of course, that she was the one that knew how to take care of all of these things. So Tanu Rabbanan, dag katan maliach. If you have a small salted fish, pa'am shu memis, sometimes it can kill a person. So when could it kill a person? It depends when you eat it, the timing of when you eat it, how long after salting it. B'shiva, b'shiva asar, uba esar b'shiva. 7 days after salting, 17, and 27 days after salting it, that's when it's dangerous. V'ami lo b'esar m'shlosh, and some say 23 days after salting it, it's very dangerous. V'lo amaren el b'matvi v'lo matvi. But that's only if you roast it just a little bit. Aval matvi shapir, but if you roast your salted fish a lot, then less lanba. Then you don't have to worry about it being dangerous. U'dlo matvi shapir lo amaren el d'lo shasa basrei shichra. And even if you only roast it a little bit, it's only dangerous if you don't drink beer afterwards. Aval shasa basrei shichra, less lanba. Somehow, if you drink beer afterwards, then it's not going to be a concern. Okay, that is as far as health is concerned. Now we go back to some halacha. V'ashosa mayim l'tzma'o. If a person drinks water because he is thirsty, the Mishnah had said he makes a bracha, shakol niyeh b'dvaro. So says Mar Lafuk Emai, when it says shosa mayim l'tzma'o, he drinks water because he's thirsty, as opposed to what? When would he drink water and not recite a bracha? So Amar Ravidi Baravin Lafuke l'manda chankase umtza. If a person is choking and he drinks water in order to not choke, so then he does not say a bracha. If he has something stuck in his throat, he does not say a bracha on the water. He just drinks the water. And the Rabbi Tarfon Omer Bar Nefashos Rabos V'Chesronan. And Rabbi Tarfon says that the bracha on mayim, and pashos, it means the bracha rishona on mayim, is a Bar Nefashos. Amar Le Rava Bar Rav Chanan L'Abaye V'Amri Lo Rav Yosef Hilchos Amay. What are we paskin in this machlokes? Amar Le Puchazi Mayam Adavar. Go see what the minhag is, what people do. And the minhag is, the Rishonim fill in, that we say a shahakal prior to drinking water and a Bar Nefashos after drinking water, and therefore that's what we do. So regardless of what the shitos and the mishnayos are, that's the minhag Yisrael. So that's what we do when we drink water. Now, in terms of drinking water, it's interesting. All the Gemara really tells us is that you definitely do say a bracha when you shosa l'tzma'o, and you don't say a bracha if you drink water because you're choking. But there are a lot of other reasons why people might drink water. Someone might drink water in order to get a pill down, in order to take a medication. Someone might drink water because it's in advance of a fast day, and they're not thirsty at all. In fact, it's difficult for them to even drink water, but they're trying to hydrate in advance of the fast, or in advance of running a marathon or something. I don't know, I guess running a marathon, you don't want to run to the bathroom every 2 minutes. I don't know what they do. But there are other reasons why a person might drink water, and that's not clear at all in Shas, whether what you do in such a case. So the basic idea, I have a piece about this in my Sefer, in the second volume in Simon Yotes, but the basic idea is that there are two mechayivim of a bracha. There's hana'as meyav and hana'as grono. So hana'as grono means you enjoy the taste. Hana'as meyav is that it has a nourishing effect. So even if there's something you don't enjoy the taste, but it has a nourishing effect, you're drinking it because you're thirsty, because you need to hydrate in a normal way, not to like overhydrate. So then for sure, you would recite a bracha. If you have just Hanas Krona, you're drinking orange juice, but you're not really hungry for it, you don't really need it, that would require a bracha as well, because you enjoy the taste of something. So a chola who can't really taste something, but he's eating because he knows that he needs to eat, would recite a bracha. So that's where the poskim discuss, what about all of these other circumstances? So it's a major discussion in the poskim, it's a huge machlokas in the poskim, whether a person should recite a bracha if he's only drinking water in order to get a pill down, or if he's only drinking water in advance of a fast day. So they're poskimani on either side of this issue. Okay, so now we begin the seventh parak of Maseches Brachos. So this parak is going to deal with Birchas HaMazon, and particularly the din of Zimun. So when we do Birchas HaZimun, the few lines that we say before we start benching is actually considered by the Gemara to be its own bracha, right? It's the actual text is Nevarich Shachal Mishlo, and then everyone says Baruch Shachal Mishlo Tavachinu, and then the guy leading says Baruch Shachal Mishlo Tavachinu. That's the whole text. The idea of saying Rabosai Nevarich, that's to indicate, the Mishabur points out, Kuf Tzadi Beisiv Katan based on the Zohar, that you need hazmana bepeh for a davar shebekedusha. You want to invite people to come participate in this davar shebekedusha. So you say, Rabbi Sai, Nevreich, come, let's participate in the davar shebekedusha. But the actual bracha, the actual davar shebekedusha, is the next line. It's not even the berushos. That's just derech eretz. That before you actually lead and say the davar shebekedusha, you seek rishus from others who would be eligible to lead, to recite the davar shebekedusha. That's why it's people are always wondering, why is it Bereshus Bala Bayis and not Bereshus Bala Sabayis? Because you're not asking, it's not a Derech Eretz in the sense that you're asking, can you pass the dessert? You're asking to lead the benching from those who would otherwise be eligible to lead the benching. So a woman is not otherwise eligible to lead the benching when there are men around. We'll discuss when there are no men around whether a woman could lead the benching. So that's why, it became like a modern phenomenon that in certain circles that they say Bereshus Bala Sabayis. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. You can say whatever you want. I mean, you can say Bereshus just the couch and the whatever and all of humanity and whatever, you can include everybody, but that's not what it's for. It's to seek rishus from those who would otherwise be eligible to lead the benching. Sometimes Talmidim will ask, if I know she's going to get insulted if I don't say it, so say it. What do you need to insult somebody for? You're not going to, it doesn't hurt anybody. That's the idea of Birchas HaZimun. So afterwards, someone tell me if I said something wrong that I have to take the shir down from the internet. So the Mishnah says as follows: Shlosha sha'achlu ka'achas. If three people eat bread together, chayavan lezamin, then they have to make a zimun together. So the Mishnah explains who are the people that are mitztarif to the zimun and who's not, and which type of food can you eat that would create a chiyuv zimun, and which type of food that you eat would not create a chiyuv zimun. The Mishnah is not going to list every usher food. It's not going to go through like chazer and nevela. It's just going to list those things that have some sort of chiddush involved. Now, pashtus, someone who eats bread that's usher, he doesn't make a birchas hamazon at all. We're going to discuss that soon. That the bracha would be a bracha above avera in zemevarech ela minait. But some say that you do say a bracha on achilas iser. And even if you do say a bracha on achilas iser, zimun isn't done. Meaning that's what our Mishnah is telling us. So we don't do zimun on achilas iser, regardless of the machlokas, which maybe we'll discuss in a few minutes, of whether you recite a regardless of the machlokas of whether you recite a bracha on an achilas iser. So it says the Mishnah, achal demay. If a person ate demay, produce that was purchased from Namaritz, where there is a din drabanan, that you have to be mafresh trumas and maestros. And they weren't mafresh trumas and maestros. You have to be mafresh maestros. Truma gedola, we assume, is taken. Maestro rishon sunitla trumaso. Or if a person ate bread that is maestro rishon, that trumas maestro was taken from it, but truma gedola was never taken from it. Or maestro sheni vehegdish aniftu. Or you have bread of maestro sheni that's outside of Yerushalayim, or bread of hegdish that was already redeemed. It was exchanged for money, but normally when you redeem hegdish or maestro sheni, you have to be mosif chomesh. You can't redeem it value for value. You have to add an extra 25%. So what if you did the pidyon, but you were not mosif chomesh? So something is wrong. V'ashamish sha'achal kezayis, or a shamish that eats together, the waiter who participates by eating a kezayis together with with the mesubim. The Tzlach raises the question: why does the Mishnah have to mention that the shamash eats a gezayis? That's the shear we're going to have at the end of the Mishnah. That's the shear to participate in zimun. So what's the chiddush that a shamash eats the gezayis? The chiddush is that it's a shamash. Why do we have to mention the shear at this point in the Mishnah? So he says, no, the hava mina is that for participants in the seuda, a gezayis might be a shear, but a shamash is not a real participant in the seuda. I might think that he has to be koveya seuda to a greater extent in order to participate. So that's what kamash malan, that he also only has a shear kezayis. Vakuti and akuti were a gayim that came, that the Melech Ashur brought from Kus and from other lands, and they settled in the Shomron, and they were Megayer because of they were afraid of the lions that were attacking. This all appears in Melachim Beis, and they were Medaktek in observing Torah Shebichsav. So Kuti, assuming that Kutim have a din of a Jew, the Gemara Maseches Chulin tells us that the Chachamim looked into it later, and they found the Demus Yonah Barosh Har Grizim that they were worshipping, and from that point forward, they made them called the Chavim Gemurim L'chol Devrayim. So from that point forward, it would be Ein Mizamnin Aleihem, but at least at this point where the Mishnah is describing is Mizamnin Alav. In all these cases, the Isser of Achila is not so bad, or the people are not so out of bounds that they wouldn't include in the Zimun. You can include them and should include them in a Zimun, even though it looks like there's somewhat of a Shemetz Aveira in each of these in each of these circumstances. Nevertheless, we are Mizamnin Alav. Achal tevel, but if a person eats tevel, something that no trumas meiser was taken from at all, or meiser rishon shalon nitl trumaso, or meiser rishon the trumas meiser was not taken from, and therefore is usher to eat meiser sheni vehekdish shalon niftu, or meiser sheni and hekdish that was not redeemed at all, so it still has its kedushas meiser sheni, and it's outside Yerushalayim. The halacha is you're allowed to eat meiser sheni, you just have to eat in Yerushalayim. So it's outside Yerushalayim, or hekdish that you were never nifta, that you were never redeemed, or vashamish shachal pachos mikazayis, or you have a shamash ate less than the gezayis, or it's not a kuti, but for hanachri, you have an actual non-Jew, then ain mezamnin alav. Then you don't include them in a zimun, because the foods that we just listed are absolutely aser, it's nachilas as iser, and therefore ain ze mevarech ele menait, that's not viewed as a bracha takarosh baruchu, and the people that we just listed are people that cannot be included in the zimun. There is a machlokas rishonim where the one should recite a birchas hananin if they're eating non-kosher food. Meaning, do you still recite a bracha when you eat non-kosher food? The Rambam, the first parak of Hilchos Brachos, Halacha Yates, says if a person eats tevel or any dvar iser, so he's not mevarich birchas hananin neither before nor after eating. And the Ravid says, what do you mean? That's against our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says a mezamnin alav, which implies we only don't include him in zimun, but that we don't make a zimun over such an achila because it's not such a sense of kvius over such an achila, but it sounds like you would recite a bracha. So the Kaz Mishnah says he doesn't think it's a raya from our Mishnah, because once our Mishnah says by eating demai and the whole first half of the Mishnah that we're mezamnin aleihem, and the chiddush is that we do make a zimun out of that. So the safe of the Mishnah when it talks about achilas iser, it says ein mezamnin, but it really also would be that ein mevarchin at all, that you wouldn't say a bracha at all, like the shitas harambam. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that we do not recite a bracha. Shulchan Aruch and Kutzad Yivav, that one does not recite a bracha on Ma'achalas Asura. So I was once with Rav Shechter, and he got a phone call from someone that there was a young boy, a ninth grade boy, who grew up in a non-religious family, and he fell in love with Yiddishkeit somehow, through NCSY or something. He fell in love with Yiddishkeit, and he started observing Torah and Mitzvot, and his family was not having it. They were not at all interested in this. But the bottom line is he had to eat, and the home wasn't kosher. And you can't tell a kid like that that you don't eat. I mean, one day you'll be able to move out of the house. Hopefully at some point maybe you can get the parents to send him away to yeshiva after working on them for a while or something. But at this point, he has to eat. So the boy had a cheshbon. He wanted to know, should he wash at every meal? And that way, he'll be able to say a hamotzi on the bread. The bread is going to be kosher. And all the other food he's going to eat, he knows isn't kosher, but then he's at least not going to get into the shaila, this machlokas rishonim, of reciting a bracha. So after we composed Rav Shechter, after he cried for a good while, he said, yeah, it's a good cheshbon. That's what the boy should do. That's the right thing to do. So because for a bracha rishona on ma'achalos hasuros, ein zem varich l'menayitz according to Shita Sarambam. Nashim avadim k'tanim ein mezamnalim. Nashim avadim k'tanim Ein mezamna lein. They're not included together in a zimun. Meaning, if you eat two men together with one woman, or one eved, or one katan, that's not considered three people together as far as a zimun. The Torah writes that Rabbeinu Yehuda used to pass in halacha lemaisa that you can include a woman lezimun, and the Agur says that Rabbeinu Simcha included a woman both lezimun asara and lezimun shlosha. So how do they touch up the Mishnah? The Mishnah says pretty explicitly, ein mezamna aleihem. So there are a number of suggestions in the Achronim. The Drisha suggests that the Mishnah is talking about tziruf of anashim together with avadim and ketanim together because of chashash pritzus. But with anashim, it's not as bad. It's dafka avadim who are more prutzin. The Taz suggests that according to these Rishonim, the Mishnah is talking about tziruf of shtei nashim or shnei avadim with one ish. When rove of the zimun is nashim or avadim. Others suggest, the Taz also suggests that the Mishnah means that we don't give them a kos shel zimun, but maybe they are including zimun. But Pashtus is like the Mishnah says, that we don't include nashim, avadim, or katanim in a zimun together with men, regardless of what the breakdown is, what the numbers are. They don't contribute to that number, whether it be to the three or to the ten. Ad kama mezamnin. So how many have to eat together in order to be chayv in zimun? I mean, how much do you have to eat, rather, in order to be chayiv in zimun? Ad kezayis, as long as the person eats a kezayis. Rabbi Yehuda omer, ad kebeitza. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the shear is a kebeitza in order to be chayiv in zimun. Kebeitza is either shnei zesim or shalosh zesim. So the Gemara on Mem Tesson Beis is going to tell us that the machlokas is really how to darshan the pasuk. Pasuk says, v'achalta v'savata uverachta. So Rav Meir holds, v'achalta means achila, v'savata means shtia. So achila, by definition, always means a kezayis. So you eat a kezayis, so then you have a din of uverachta. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, v'achalta v'savata means achila sheyesh basviya. And how much is an achila sheyesh basviya? A kebeitza. So that's the machlokas. But there is a machlokas rishonim. How do we reconcile that with what we said way back on Daf Chafam Beis? On Daf Chafam Beis, we said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, v'chilo es apanim liYisrael, should I not show favoritism to Klal Yisrael? Look how good they are to me. I tell them v'achalta v'savata uverachta, that they only have to bench if they eat to full satiation. And they even say a benching if they eat a kezayis or a kebeitza, which makes it sound like kezayis or kebeitza is not really the chiyuv minatora. Only if a person is actually satiated is it a chiyuv minatora. And yet over here, the Rishonim say, based on this mission, based on the Gemara says, rather, on Daf Mem Tes, based on the pasuk, that we darshan a pasuk, that the savata might mean a kebeitza, it might even mean just the kezayis along with a drink. So which is it? What's the chiyuv of benching minatara? So Shitas HaTosos is that these drushos over here are just an asmachta. Midar Raisa, it needs to be Sevilla Gemura in order to be chayiv. However, Shitas HaRaivit is quoted by the Rashba that the Gemara, the halacha is not like the previous Gemara in Daf Chaf. The halacha is like this Gemara. So what exactly the mechayiv of Brichsa Mazan Dar Raisa is, whether it's Kezayis or Kebeitza, or whether it's Sevilla, is actually a machlokas Rishonim. So says Gemara Minani Mili. Where do we know this idea from? That there's such a concept called birchas hazimun, that three people together add this bracha at the beginning of benching. It's a bracha that doesn't have shemu malchus, right? The zimun doesn't have shemu malchus, but nevertheless it is a bracha. The Ravid writes in his Hasagas of the Balamar that even though it's a bracha minat Torah, it doesn't have shemu malchus because it's not kavua, because each person could eat on their own; they don't have to join a group, and that's why they never instituted shemu malchus. But don't let it fool you. Just because there's no shemu malchus doesn't mean it's not a bracha. It is an actual bracha. So the Gemara wants to know, minani milu, what's the source for this bracha that we add in prior to the regular benching? So I'm Ravasi Damar Krak, as the pasuk says, Gadul Hashem iti uneram mashmo yachtav. So it sounds like one person is telling two other people, Gadlu in plural, Hashem iti, with me, the singular. So if one person is telling two other people, that's a total of three people. And together we should praise and elevate the Shem Hashem to say a birchas Zimun. Rabbi Avo Amr Mehacha. It's a different pasuk. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Elokeinu. So it also sounds like it's one person saying, I'm going to call out Shem Hashem, and then the two of you together with me will have a Godel Elokeinu, will ascribe greatness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is, of course, not the first place in this Masechta where we've had this pasuk as a source for a Dinda Araisa. If you remember on Daf Chaf Aleph, we went through what the sources are for the two brachas d'araisa, for brichas ha-mazon d'araisa. So we discussed v'yachalta v'savata v'irachta, and what the source is for the din of brichas ha-torah mid'araisa. And the kishem Hashem ekra, havagod l'elokeinu, was the source for brichas ha-torah on a d'araisa level, that when you call out the shem Hashem, we had the machlokas, Rashi and the Marsha, what that means. You call the shem Hashem means you say Torah, so havagod l'elokeinu, so you should also say a bracha, or kishem Hashem ekra means when you say a bracha, you should say a bracha prior to havagod l'elokeinu learning Torah. But either way, it's a source for birchas haTorah. That may be the machlokas over here, because one might ask, if you have a pasuk kishem Hashem ekra havagod l'elokeinu from the Torah, it's a pasuk in Devarim Perek Lamed Beis, why would you bring a pasuk from Tehillim Lamed Aleph, Gadol Hashem Shemitin Ramash Me'achtav? So it could be because you learn kishem Hashem ekra is already used for the drasha d'oraisa of birchas haTorah. So that's why you need another drasha to tell me the din of zimun. How do you know that when someone's answering Amen, they shouldn't answer Amen more loudly than the person who's saying the bracha? Shnemar Gadol Hashem Iti Unro Meshmo Yachtav. Gadol Hashem is the answer, is Anias Amen, and Iti means equal with me. Don't yell it louder than me. Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Minayin She'ena Metargim Rashi Lagbia Kol Yosem Min HaKorei. Similarly, when the person is reading the Targum of the Torah next to the Bal Korei, they should not read the Targum louder than the Korei. Shenem, louder than the Korei is reading the Torah. Shenem, Moshe Yidaber, the Elokim Yanenu B'kol. Moshe was Medaber and Metargim to the Jewish people, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying. She'ein Tabalomer, the Pasuk does not say B'kol, that to tell me that, that, I mean, the Torah should not have had to say B'kol, that he Elokim Yanenu B'kol, I mean, just say Elokim Yanenu. U'mat Tabalomer B'kol, why does the Pasuk go out of its way to say that extra word B'kol? B'kol Shel Moshe. To let us know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was only saying it at the same decibel level that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying it. To tell us that a Metargim should not be Magbia Kolo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has more power. He could obviously say it as loud as he wants, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu limited himself to say it only at the decibel level that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to say it in order to show that a Metargim should not be louder than the Kore. So Tosfos raises the Kasha. Who's the Kore? Who's the Metargim in this scenario between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not the Metargim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Kore. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Metargim. So Tosfos says, no, what the Raya is, that Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching it to all of Klal Yisrael. So he's going to shout it at the top of his lungs. He's got to speak to 3 million people, right? So he's going to shout it at the top of his lungs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have to say it loud at all. He could have whispered it into Moshe Rabbeinu's ears. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have made it super duper loud, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu dafka was makbid to make it to the level of Moshe Rabbeinu's voice, but not louder than Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do it, so that Moshe would not be magbia kolo yoser min ha metarge, meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not make it, did not whisper it to Moshe. He said it loudly, even though he didn't have to say it loudly, so that Moshe Rabbeinu would not be metargame louder than HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally said it. Tanya nami hachi, in a metargame Rashi like via kolo yoser min ha-korek, the metargame should not say louder than the Kore, and if the Kore realizes that the Metargim doesn't have a very loud voice, the Kore should lower his voice so that it should match, so that the Metargim shouldn't be saying it lower than the Kore himself. Good, next sugya. Itmar, Shnayim Shachlu Kachas. If you have two people that eat together, Pligi Rav Rabbi Yochanan. So you have machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. Chad amar amratzu lezamin mezamin, v'chad amar amratzu lezamin ein mezamin. One of them says that if they want to be mezamin, so they should be mezamin, and the other one says if they want to be mezamin, they cannot be mezamin. Meaning, can you do a zimun with two people? And the answer is machlokes. Right? So it's machlokes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. At this point, the Gemara does not identify who says what, just that there's a machlokas whether they have the right to do a zimun. So why is it that they cannot do a zimun? What would be the problem? So Shitum Kubetzas writes that the zimun is like a davar shebekedusha. So there's a number that's required in order to have this level of davar shebekedusha. Just like you need a minyan in order to say kaddish, in order to say kedusha. So you have this requirement of a certain number in order to be able to say a zimun. The Pnei Yeshua says that they can't do it because it looks like they're being mosif ala bracha. So okay, different suggestions why it would be that they can't do it. But says Gemara, let's try to bring rayas now. Can two people do zimun or not? So we're going to have four rayas. Raya number one, Tanan, our Mishnah. Shlosha shaklu kachas chayav lezamin, shlosha in shnayim lo. It says that if three people eat together, they're chayav to do zimun. Sounds like, yeah, three people eating together are chayav to do zimun, but not two people. So sounds like two people don't do zimun. So says Gemara, hasam chav v'hacha rishos. No, all you can be mdayik from our Mishnah is that there's no chiyuv of two people to make a zimun. But it could be that there's still a rishos of two people to make a zimun. So raya number two, tashema. Shlosh shaklukachas chayavin lezamein ve'in rasha'in lechalek. That the Brisa says that three people that eat together have to do a zimun, and they can't split up. Shlosh in shnayim lo. So you see that two people are not able to make a zimun, because otherwise they should be allowed to split up, because the two people could still do their zimun even after they break off from the third guy. So says Mar, no, shayni yasim to kavul b'chov meikara. Once they have three people eating together, it's koveya achiyuv zimun. So you can't do a second-rate zimun, and having only two people is a lower-level zimun when you could have done it with three people. So that's not a raya that when two people eat together that they can't do a zimun, just that once you've had three, you can't now decide to have two people break off from that. So that's not a raya. Tashma says, well, raya number three. Hashamash hashamash al shnayim. Let's say you have a guy who's serving as a waiter for two people who are eating together. Hareza ochel imayim afal pishlo nasl rishus. He can join and eat with them even though they didn't give him rishus, because we assume that they want him to join so that they'll be able to do zimun. There's a bracha they're going to be able to say only if he joins with them. But mishamish al shlosha. But if there were three people eating and he was serving as the waiter, hareza eino ochel imayim afal pishlo nasl rishus. Then he absolutely cannot eat with them unless he gets rishus from them, because they're able to do the zimun without him. So that's not derech eretz for him to just assert himself into their meal. So you see from that lechora it's a raya that if you say that two people are able to make a zimun, why is the third guy, why is the waiter allowed to insert himself in a meal of two people that are eating together? He's not contributing anything. They're able to make a zimun without him. So elamai, two people must not be allowed to make a zimun. Says Marana, that's not a good raya. Shaini hasam denichalu demikvalu b'chava. No, maybe two people can make a zimun, but you can make the assumption that they would prefer to do a zimun shal chova, and it will be a zimun shal chova if there are three people, not a zimun shal rishus. So says Gemara Raya number four, Tashema, a raya in the other direction. Nashim mizamnos liatzman va'avadim mizamnos liatzman. That the Brisa tells us women can make a zimun on their own, and avadim can make a zimun on their own. Nashim avadim ketanim imrats lezamenein mizamnin, but a combination of nashim avadim and ketanim together are not allowed to make a zimun. So says Gemara, wait a second. Why are women allowed to make a zimun on their own? Va'amea nashi ketrei gavri damyan. 100 women, or however many women you have, has the halachic status of, as far as zimun is concerned, of two men, meaning that there's no chi of zimun. It's not saying we're not doing a value assessment of women versus men over here. We're saying that as far as the chi of zimun is concerned, women are not chayiv in zimun, and men are not, and two men are not chayiv in zimun. That's what it means. Ketrei gavri damyan. V'katani nashim mizamnin. And yet we say that women are allowed to do a zimun. So even though they're not chayiv, they're allowed to do a zimun. So it must be that two men who also are not chayiv are allowed to do zimun. Says Marno, shiny asam di ikadeos. Now the level of chiyuv for three women is very different than the level of chiyuv for two men. Two men have zero chiyuv and therefore no right to do a zimun. Women may or may not have a chiyuv of zimun, but there are more deos, there are more people there. As long as it's three or more people, that's enough to create more of a chevra, more of a group, which is what zimun essentially is. It's a group coming together to be mevarich Hashem. Ihach, he says Marayim Asef, and Nashim Avadim Rasul Zam Neim. Then why is it that when Nashim eat together with Avadim, can they not be Mizamin? Am I low? Vahayika Deos. After all, isn't there Deos over there? Aren't there people? So says Marno, Shaini Asa Mishum Pritzusa. Over there it's different because we don't want to encourage Nashim and Avadim to eat together. That's a chashash that will lead to Pritzus. So the Chacham say, don't make a Zimun to sort of discourage that whole Maimit that women and Avadim should not eat together. So that's the idea of Deos. So says Gemara, who holds what in this machlokas about whether two people are allowed to make a zimun? We know it's machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, but we never said who holds what. So tistayim the Rav d'amar m'ratzel l'zaminein mezamnin. Most logical that Rav is the one that does not allow the zimun. D'amar Rav Dim Bar Yosef, I'm a Rav because Rav told us that shlosh sha'achlu ka'achas v'yatza echem neem l'shuk, that if you have three people that eat together and one of them goes out to the shuk and when the others that are left want to do a zimun, korin lo, they call him back to participate in the zimun, umizamnolav, and they call him and they could say a zimun even if he didn't come all the way back to sit with them. So from the fact that the two people need to call that third guy, time to korin lo, hello korin lo lo, sounds like they would not be able to make a zimun if they don't call out to that third guy. It's only because they're calling out to him and he's going to participate that they're able to make a zimun. So you see that Rav holds two people are not allowed to make a zimun on their own. Says no, shiny asim dikvul b'chav meikara. That's not a raya. The case was the three people ate together. together. So there was already a chiyuv zimun. Once there's a chiyuv zimun, it's not right to do a zimun shel rishus. So that's why they have to call the third guy if he walks away. But under normal circumstances, if it's just two people eating together, then of course you can make a zimun with just two people, maybe, according to Rav. So Ella Tistai must be Rabbi Yochanan Domar Rasul Zamine Mizamin. It must be that it's Rabbi Yochanan who holds that two people are not permitted to make a zimun. So if you have two people eating together and they get up to benching, so echad mehen yotzei bibirchas chavera, one of them could be yotzei with shomea ka'ona with the other one's bracha. So we asked about Rabbi Yochanan, what's the chiddush that one of them could be yotzei with the other party? Tanina, we already learned in the brisa, shama v'lo ana yotza, that if a person just listens to a bracha, even if he doesn't say anything, that's called shomea ka'ona. He's yotzei, he's chiyuv. You know, even answering a main is not ma'akev. So what's Rabbi Yochanan being mechadesh? So says Rabbi Zeira, no, you know what Rabbi Yochanan is telling us? He's not telling us that a person could be yotzei with shomea ka'ona by hearing someone else's bracha. He's telling us that that when you have two people that are reading together, that they're not able to make a zimun, and that's why he says that one is yotzei bebirchas chavero. If there was a zimun, it would be birchas shneihem. It wouldn't be birchas chavero. By calling it birchas chavero, it makes it sound like it's his bracha, and I'm going to be yotzei with his bracha. But a zimun is not viewed as I'm being yotzei with his bracha. A zimun is it's one person offering a bracha on behalf of all of us. It's our joint bracha. The very notion that you're calling it birchas chavero implies that it is not a zimun. So you see that Rabbi Yochanan holds that there's no zimun with two people. Tistayim. So says Gemara. So now we know who said what. So we started this discussion on Amud Aleph that there's machlokes Rav Rabbi Yochanan. We didn't know who said what. One of them said two people can make a zimun. The other one said two people can't. But now we say we know who says what. Rabbi Yochanan says two people cannot. Rav says two people can make a zimun. Amud Le Rav Bar Rafuna Le Rafuna V'Rabban Dasim Marava Amirim Ratzel Lezamin. Zamnin, but then the Tamidi Chum that came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel used to tell us that two people are allowed to make a zimun. My love to Shmilu me Rabbi Yochanan. Doesn't it have to be that they heard that from Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan was a Rashiv in Eretz Yisrael. If they didn't hear it from Rabbi Yochanan, where would they have gotten this idea? So how can you tell me that Rabbi Yochanan holds that two people cannot make a zimun? Rabbi Yochanan was a Rashiv in Eretz Yisrael. He must be the source of these Tamidi Chum from Eretz Yisrael telling me that they can make a zimun. So says right when people come visiting from Eretz Yisrael, it's in Yana Diyama. So says Mar Lo to Shmilu. No, they heard it from Rav before he went to Bavel. Meaning Rav also was originally an Eretz Yisrael Dikiyid. So he also originally came from Eretz Yisrael. Rav was a Ben Eretz Yisrael and he learned Torah by Rabbeinu HaKadosh, but because of some Maisa that happened, he had to run to Bavel. The Gemara in Chulin tells us that Rabbi Yochanan used to praise Rav, and he would say that when Rav was in Eretz Yisrael, before he went to Bavel, he was more chashuv than Rabbi Yochanan. And he remembers, I used to sit, Rabbi Yochanan used to say that I would sit 17 rows behind Rav. They used to seat them based on their order of chashivos, right? So there was like the dais that Rav was on, and he was like 17 rows behind Rav. That's how chashuv Rav was in Bavel. Just, if we have a moment, a word or two, just about this idea of nashim being mezamin. So from our sugya, it sounds, the mashmas of our sugya, that women together are allowed to make a zimun if it's only a group of women, but they're not mechuyiv to make a zimun. However, there is a gemara at the very beginning of Maseches Arachin, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Hakol chayavin bezimun, says the gemara. Lasuye mai, who's hakol chayavin coming to include? Lasuye nashim v'avadim. Detanya nashim mezam l'seatzman, v'avadim mezam l'atzman. So that gemara sounds very much that women are chayiv to make a zimun. So this is a major machlokas rishonim. When a group of women eat together, there's no discussion whether it's aser. It's definitely not aser for a woman to make a zimun. That's beferish in both gemaras. Question is it a chiyuv or is it only a reshus for women who eat together to make a zimun? So the Rush, based on the sugya Arachin, says it's a chiyuv. You see clearly over there that it's a chiyuv. Rashi says that even though linin chova einon chayavos, linin rishus. Rashi Masechus Brachos over here says, and Tosus also says that it must be rishus. Tosus says he has three rayas that it's only rishus. Number one, he says the minhag ha'olam is that women don't do it, so it must be a rishus if women aren't doing it. So it must not be a chiyuv, because otherwise that would be a terrible kitrug on all the women who eat together and aren't doing it. L'chora, the Rosh would say that's a mistake. You know, sometimes we have a minhag tos, and that's a mistake. Tosa's second raya is the Lashna by Avadim. It says Imratsu. Sounds like that's talking about women alone are mizamnos also only imratsu. And the Rush would say, no, it could be that the Resha is a Chova, and the Seif is telling us, even imratsu, we would be mocha biyadam, yishum pritzusa, when it's nashim and avadim together. Tosus' third raya is from the fact that the Gemara compares three women to two men, and by two men we know that there's no chiyuv to be mizamin. So the Rush would be docha that raya, he is docha that raya, and he says, once the Gemara says deo shiny, the Gemara is telling us that three women are not like two men, that three women are on a higher madrega than two men, and it's therefore a chiyuv. So this is a machlokas rishonim, whether nashim are mizamnos or ein mizamnos. How do we pass in Shulchan Aruch? So Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Tzadi Tes, Sivav, nashim mizamnos liatzman rishus. Interesting, the Shulchan Aruch adds a wrinkle. He says, when a group of women eat alone, just eat together with only women, then it's a reshus. It's not a chiyuv. It happens to be the Bir Agra disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch. The Vilna Gaon says, no, it's a chiyuv. So there's a discussion of Shturm Bachaz, assuming that women are not going to do a zimun, is it better for women to be makbid not to eat together? That's ridiculous. Women are never going to eat together. Anyway, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that it's a reshus, but, and this is, a lot of people don't realize this, when there's a su'uda where men are going to be making a zimun, women are part of that zimun, and they're chayiv in the zimun, the Shulchan Aruch paskins. So a lot of times you have, the su'uda's over, and the men are making the zimun, and the women are still conversing, or clearing the table, or doing something else, and they'll bench when they're ready to bench. But that's not really right. The women should answer to the zimun together with the men. That's a chiyuv that the women have to answer the zimun together with the men. Okay, says Gemara Vayter, Gufa. Amar Rabdim Bar Yosef Amrav Shlosh Shachlu Kachas Yatzachem Nem Lashuk Korin Lo Mezamin Lav Amar Abayi Vudu Korin Leva Ani. That when three people ate together and one guy started leaving the table, you can call to him and include him in the Zimun, provided that he's able to hear you and respond to the Zimun. Amar Zutra Vel Amar Nel Beshlosh Av Basara Adenaisi. That's only if it's three people. If it was 10 people and you want to say Nevarach Elokeinu, when you want to have a minion, he's got to come all the way back. He can't just answer from a distance. So Maskel Ravashi Adra Beibchem Estavra. I would have said that the opposite makes more sense. Tisha Nirin Kasar, when you have 9 people sitting there, so you know you gotta do Hoshia Samecha to figure out if it's 9 or 10. You know, it looks like 10 people. So it's not such a bizayin if one guy is off to the side a little bit. Shnayim Nirin Kishloshab, when you have 2 people, that doesn't look like 3 people at all. So I would think that the guy's gotta come all the way back in order to participate in the Zimun. Vilksa Kamar Zutra and the Halach Zakmar Zutra, that when it's 3 people, the guy could be far away. When it's 10 people, he's gotta come back. My time, Kivin de Bailat Kuri Shem Shemaim, Batsumyasar, Lava Rachara. That since when it comes to 10 people, you're going to mention Shem Hashem, so it's not derech eretz to do so without a minion of people there. Amar Abaye, Nikitin and Shnaim Sha'achlu Ka'achas, Mitzvah Lechalik. If 2 people eat together, each one should say their own bracha. Both bracha Rishon and bracha Achron. They should not be motzi each other in a bracha. Tani Namiyachi, Shnaim Sha'achlu Ka'achas, Mitzvah Lechalik. Ba'medvar Mamurim Kishneim Sofrim. That's only if they're both educated people who know how to say brachos. Avalechot Sofer Vechot Bor, but if one of them doesn't know how to recite a bracha, Sofer Mevarich, Bor Yotze. Let the Sofer, let the one who knows how to say the bracha, and the other guy will be Yotzei. The Rush, in explaining Rashi, says that the Bor is Yotzei with the bracha of the Sofer, even if he doesn't understand Lashon HaKodesh. He knows that there's an Indian of a bracha, but he doesn't even understand the words of the bracha, he could still be Yotzei. Tosos says that no, it's Dafka if he understands Lashon HaKodesh. He can't be Yotzei or bracha, he just doesn't know how to formulate the bracha, but he'll understand it when the Talmud Chacham is saying it. So that's a Machlokes Rishonim. If he doesn't understand the bracha, can he be Yotzei with the this is the Nogei Lamai? So, you know, there's halach in Shulchan Aruch that if you have someone who's not going to say a bracha, you're not allowed to give him food. So what a lot of the poskim, because it's a lifnei iver, so a lot of the poskim suggest is what you could do is if you're serving food, you should say the bracha out loud, and that way, you know, and you can announce, I'm going to say a blessing on behalf of everybody, and, you know, your guest won't mind that you're doing that, and you'll say the bracha, and then you'll be motzi him. So it doesn't work, right? So we're assuming, like, that day in Rishonim, that it works, even though he doesn't understand what you're saying. Amar Rava, Hamil Samisa Ana, V'itamra Mishmed Rabbi Zeira Kavasi. He says, you know, Rava says, I once said something, and Rabbi Zeira was in agreement with me. I heard in the name of Rabbi Zeira, just like me, that Shlosh Shachul Kachas, if you have 3 people eating together, Echad Mafsik L'Shnayim, one of them he finishes his su'uda, could be mafsik the other two people to make them be mezamin with him. But two people don't, I'm sorry, one of them would have to stop his su'uda to join the other two who are already finished and bench, but two people do not have to stop their su'uda because one guy is already finished. Majority rules. Whoever, if the majority are finished their su'uda, so then the one guy should join with them. But the other way, they would not have to. V'lo, v'arav papa, afsik le'laba mar b'rei, ihu v'chad. But didn't Rav Papa stop his su'uda to a comment? Didn't Rav Papa was eating with his son, Abba Mar, and another person, and Abba Mar finished before them, and Rav Papa and the other guy stopped their su'uda for Abba Mar. So don't you see that two people stopped for one? Says Mar, Shani Rav Papa, Lefnim Yishur Sedin Udavid. Oh, Rav Papa was a big tzaddik. You can't bring a raya from Rav Papa. He went Lefnim Yishur Sedin. Yehuda Bar Mreim Mar Bar Vashi, V'Ravachim Yidivti, Karchi Rifta Bade Adadi. They had a meal together. Lav Buchad Av Mufug Michavri. Neither one, no one of them was so much greater than the others, Levruchi Luhu, that it was so obvious who was going to lead the benching. So Amri, Haddad Shol Shachach Chayvon Lazami, Nani Mili Heichadi Ik Adam Gadol. When we say that there's a Chiv Zeman, that's when there's an obvious Adam Gadol. Avle Heichadichi Adadi Nenu Chiluk Bracha Sadiv. So they figured no one should lead the Zeman and they'll just each say their own Bracha. So Baruch Inish Lanafshe, everyone said their own benching. Asl Kamed Maremar, and then later they told Maremar what happened. Amalu Yidei Bracha Yitzasim, Yidei Zeman Lo Yitzasim. He said that was a terrible idea. You were Yotze the Birch Samazon, but you didn't do Zeman. You missed out on a whole bracha because of that. And if you're going to say, okay, so now let's go back and do the zimun, ain't zimun l'mafreya. It's too late. You can't do the zimun once it's already over. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Ba'u Metzah.